Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott is not disrespected, saying it would be a mistake for the Cowboys to pay Dak $30 million isn't disrespect. It's common sense. Let's stop the delusional Dak sanity. Former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury is the latest talking head to get swept up in Dak sanity. Dak sanity is a CTE complication that causes football experts to argue that Dak deserves the kind of money earned by Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan, simply because Dak was on the roster when the Cowboys won 30 regular season games over the last three seasons. Salisbury, now a radio host in Houston, appeared on the Dan Patrick radio show yesterday and proclaimed that Dak is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL and is extremely disrespected. The NFL Network's Bucky Brooks, someone I consider the smartest man in football, is the ringleader of Dak's sanity. You've heard him right here on this show spewing Dak delusion.
The problem that people have is, for whatever reason, Dak Prescott is not viewed as a franchise quarterback. But I challenge Cowboy fans. Do you remember Quincy Carter? Do you remember Chad Hutchinson? How about Drew Henson?
Why
How did you like those
fans,
days?
Bucky?
Because
Why
that's what the issue is.
That's the issue.
No, that's the issue.
That is. Bucky's not alone. Our man TJ Houshmandzadeh is part of the Dak sanity movement, too.
Like, Dak Prescott got to be the most disrespected player in the league, bro. It's by everybody.
Stop it. Dak sanity is a different form of capernicking. There's nothing we love to do more than give black quarterbacks bad advice. When Colin Kaepernick was burning up money in his NFL career with his "Hey, look at me" anthem protest, the media Kaepernick spent all year applauding his self-destructive publicity stunt slash temper tantrum. You ever see a media Kaepernick protest social injustice on their job? The media love to give black quarterbacks advice they wouldn't follow themselves. No one in the media, not Sean Salisbury, not Bucky Brooks, not my guy, that dude,
what?
Believes Dak Prescott is a top 10 NFL quarterback. So how is it disrespectful to say Dak doesn't deserve a contract that would pay him like he's a top 5 passer? It's not. It's common sense. Dak's sanity is going to destroy Dak Prescott. This kid had a hell of a brand, a hell of a reputation. Everyone liked Dak Prescott. He was an underdog story. Yesterday, a friend from Texas sent me an internet meme mocking Prescott. It showed a man smoking crack, and the caption read, "The moment before Dak asked for $40 million.
Pookie!
Every day of Dak's sanity is a bad day for Dak Prescott. The longer his contract dispute plays out publicly, the more damage is done to his brand in the minds of football fans and his Cowboys teammates. He looks greedy and delusional. The constant conversation about what Dak is really worth is poison inside the Cowboys locker room.
Poison.
Dak's teammates don't suffer from Dak's sanity. They have Dak envy. They're looking at a guy who is on the cusp of being paid much more than he's worth. A football locker room is no different from any workplace. Do you like and respect your highly overpaid coworker? You know who benefits from Dak's sanity? Dak's agent, Todd Franz. If Franz can get Prescott overpaid, it enhances Franz's brand as a negotiator. He can go recruit future clients with the narrative, "I'm the agent who got the Cowboys to pay Dak Prescott $30 million. That's the greatest recruiting pitch since the University of Louisville basketball program opened a strip club inside his dormitories.
Hey.
If Dak were a free agent this offseason, he would have commanded a similar contract as Nick Foles, who signed for an average of $22 million a year. Dak disrespect is a myth. Dak delusion is reality. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Mangini, Fox Sports college football analyst and NFL legend Reggie Bush. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Think Dak is disrespected?
Absolutely, he's being disrespected.
Oh, here we go.
He didn't throw me in the video over the montage. I started this. Respect to Dak Prescott, who is trying to control what he can't control when you're on the football field. And most of that is materialized through numbers. And the ultimate number is, did you win? We all know, since he's been in the league, second most wins at the position, okay?
Mm-hmm. Regular season.
Dude, you, oh, there. You.
I'm just throwing my
I have information. And listening to
oh,
your
we
winner,
know, we
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you got that information.
I do like and respect coworkers who are overpaid, right? That's how I do. You're my boy. You're my dog. Nah, you work. I'll give you that. You do grind. That said, this is all about comps. When you go to the housing market, you go to any sector where comps change value and change price. Dak Prescott, and you're talking about the numbers, man. If you look at the top 10 quarterbacks by salary, do you know that six of them didn't even make the playoffs last year? Six of them. And then there's a seventh in Carson Wentz where you're like, your team did, but did you? Because you never play in those games. So with that said, Todd France has comps. And he's like, I'm going to focus in on these comps, and I'm certainly going to narrow down to the Carson Wentz number, and that's where we're stuck at. He's being disrespected because his numbers are what he can control. His numbers have surpassed people in his top 10, and he's not getting paid accordingly.
Marcellus, I've been to your house. Mm-hmm. If we moved it to your old neighborhood in Compton, the value would go down.
It would.
Dak ain't in the same neighborhood as these other quarterbacks he's trying to get paid like. Somebody help me out. He's not being disrespected.
No, I don't think he's being disrespected. And I don't think this is a function of respect or disrespect. It's just business. Mm-hmm. And in this business, especially when we look at the NFL free agency, guys are constantly signed for values that they don't deserve because it's free agency, and that's what the market bears. This is what the market bears right now, and the fact that Carson Wentz signed where he signed, that is a very fair comparable for his agent and for Dak to work off of. Mm-hmm. He's got more wins. He's got more head-to-head wins. He's got more conference wins. He's got playoff wins. He has a better completion percentage. They came in the same year. Why shouldn't he get at least the number that Carson Wentz got? And this isn't about respect or not respect. It's about the market and comparables.
Yeah, I think Coach just hit it on the head. I don't think he's being disrespected. I think some of his inconsistencies throughout the season may warrant some of the criticism that he gets. But you're the quarterback of America's team. You're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, which is one of the richest franchises in all of sports. And so you're going to get criticism that comes along with that. And he took over for Tony Romo, right? And so the way he took over for Tony Romo, people were expecting him to be as good or better. There has been some up and down games, but I don't think he's disrespecting. And I also agree with you as well. He's the next man up. And that's kind of where the quarterback market is. It's not even about the numbers as much anymore. It's more so about, are you the next man up to get paid? And that's what we're seeing with Dak Prescott.
Okay, but it sounds like Eric and Reggie are agreeing with me, Marcel, so I'm going to go back at you again.
It's amazing that they're agreeing with you with their words, but then their information actually supports what I'm saying.
And you know, right.
There's a contradiction.
What information?
The one fact question. That his numbers, the comps, the comparables say he deserves to be in this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this clearly. Derek Carr is in the top 10. Does he deserve more than him? Stop playing. Matthew Stafford. Stop playing. Jimmy G. Oh, my God. What are we talking about right here? Kirk Cousins. Carson Wentz. These are all top 10 salary quarterbacks.
Until you got to Carson Wentz, you were in the right neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You were in the right neighborhood when you start talking about Derek Carr. Or did you mention Joe Flacco, Nick Foles?
I ain't going down there.
Those are the neighborhoods he belongs in. But let's quit acting like because some of us are saying, hey, man, you're good. But I wouldn't pay you $30 million. That's not disrespect. Mm-hmm. That's an evaluation of the market. And again, that's people go in and put a bid on a house. Sometimes they come in low. Mm-hmm. Someone else, a sucker, may come in high and overpay for Dak like you would. I'm gonna buy Dak at the house price that he's worth. 23, 24, 25.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
26, 20,
your house is going to be sitting there. Whitlock going to be in there chilling. You know why? Carson Wentz, is he the fourth best quarterback in our league? Why is he getting paid like it? Is Kirk Cousins the sixth best quarterback in our league? Why is he getting paid like it? Jimmy G, the seventh best quarterback in our league? And these are people that I actually respect. But are they even close to what they're getting paid in compensation? in terms of ranking in the league? No. So why now all of a sudden that's the strongest argument we have against Dak when we don't have that same argument against everyone else?
If Dak Prescott was a free agent, he would get more than $32 million.
Oh, stop, no.
If Dak Prescott was out in the open market, he would get more than $32 million.
Name a team.
You can't,
name a team.
Look, we look at this all the time, and you saw the Minnesota Vikings come in at how much guaranteed money for
84.
Kirk Cousins? Mm-hmm. Like, and nobody necessarily thought that was going to be the number they came in at.
Right.
When you are a free agent and there's 32 teams and most of them are desperate for a quality quarterback, you're going to overpay. That's the way it is. And you're not just betting on, or you're not just saying, this is what I'm paying you for what you did. You're betting on the come. You're betting on the future. What do you think this player can be?
And why would he get more than Nick Foles? Just this past offseason, why would he get more than Nick?
Because he doesn't have the failures in his resume that Nick Foles has.
Or the successes.
You know, that's true, but hold on. In spot duty. True. Come on. Nick Foles didn't take that from beginning to end. Right. That's a spliced situation there between Carson Wentz carrying the water and then Nick Foles saving the day. But at the end of the day, you still have a body of resume against Nick Foles that you don't have in the negative towards
him. And that is the upside of not having that much tape. Is you have the ability, if you're an organization that wants to sign a guy, to say, we think he's going to be this, where a guy like Nick Foles has a much bigger body of work, and you don't know which guy you're necessarily going
to
get.
Right.
Yeah, I know we love to use the Carson Wentz comparison, but are we willing to sit here and say that when you turn on the film, you look at Carson Wentz, and you look at Dak Prescott, that there is not a clear-cut difference in his ability to be accurate, push the football down the field, win games, all those different things.
I'm sorry, Reggie. I haven't been in your house. I know it's immaculate. It's huge, expansive. When you turn on that film in your house, it's not Carson Wentz on that film a lot of times because he's on the sideline.
For the playoffs.
He's never won a playoff game. He's only won two meaningful December games, and one of them he couldn't even finish.
He was in the MVP conversation.
Get him.
So was
get him. I knew Coach was ready for this.
Was he in the MVP conversation? Has Dak ever been in the MVP conversation?
But has Derek Carr? Yeah, he was in the MVP conversation until he got hurt. And nobody's sitting here going, Derek Carr should be making $34 million a year.
Right.
Just because someone's in the conversation for a little while doesn't mean they necessarily need to be in the conversation long term.
I'm going to stick with the housing analogies. I'm not going to go sexist.
Are we in Compton or are we in the valley where I'm at?
Well, we're talking about amenities inside the house.
Okay.
Carson Wentz has a pool in the backyard. Wow. Dak doesn't. That's why his price is so high. It's the
so
talent.
Wrong.
He
so
was,
wrong.
What was he, the number two pick in the draft?
Yeah.
The evaluators have already said early on what neighborhood Carson Wentz was in.
Yeah.
Dak is trying to be the Beverly Hillbillies and move on to a new neighborhood, or George Jefferson and move on up to a new neighborhood. But there's a lot of, like, dude.
Yeah.
The homeowners association is saying, you're not qualified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have the right amenities.
Yeah.
You don't have a Super Bowl, you don't have the talent, you don't have a pool in your backyard, you're not fit for this neighborhood.
But when you buy a house, you have an inspector go look at it, and Carson Wentz's pool might not work. You know, and there's a lot of things.
How the pool not gonna work?
You
can put some water in it.
It just don't work. The filter, all that
right, everything
work.
Ain't working.
And you're playing with the numbers here. In football, there's always an equation when you're talking about value. You can highlight the strengths, or you can highlight the weaknesses. And if you believe there's upside, you start to highlight the strengths.
Yeah.
Like you said, Dak has intangibles that need to be highlighted on top of numbers that shouldn't be cooked. And right now, a lot of people are cooking the books on Dak because they don't like everything that they see. But it doesn't matter. Maybe your eyes are deceiving you.
Holding on to the football too long?
All right, the sacks got it. Russell Wilson has sack issues as well.
Don't compare him to Russell.
I'm not.
Wilson.
I'm just saying the sack problem. Okay.
Carson Wentz got hit at a rate that was higher than any quarterback early in the season.
And took his toll.
Because he wouldn't release the ball.
Yeah.
That's one of his biggest issues. Is he needs to learn how to get rid of the football.
Yeah.
Listen, no one up here understands the business of football. Well, all three of you understand the business of football at a very high level. When you get drafted that high, it impacts your second contract.
It bleeds.
No question about it. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happened to Carson Wentz. Look, for me, I hate to be in this position where it sounds like I can't stand Dak Prescott. Because it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the guy right now is a 25 and on the high end, a $27 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm.
Maybe he can prove to be something else. That's not disrespect.
That's not disrespect. Yeah, I don't
think that's disrespect. I think he stick with him, but not at some ridiculous price that I'm telling you, and I keep going back to it, his teammates, if he comes in at $30 million or above, his teammates are going to turn on him.
And I didn't mean to interrupt, but when we talk about respect and disrespect, you've got Tom Brady making $23 million. Mm-hmm. If that's not the – if you want to go to the disrespect world, that's like the ultimate level of disrespect. But we don't operate in a world that's based off of respect.
Thank you.
We operate in a world that's based off of market, supply, demand. And right now, his supply and demand, and his market value is in the Carson Wentz neighborhood. If you want to buy a house.
Thank you.
Jimmy. And that house is sitting on the market, and it'll continue to sit on the market because Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have been all up in the house. They've had inspectors. They've inspected it for 3 years. And they're not doing it. And I don't blame them.
No.
And that's not disrespect.
They're not doing it yet.
Yeah. Right.
Yet.
Thank you. You got to see the tactics that they're playing. I always talk about the good cop, bad cop, mm-hmm. Jerry, Stephen. Also, this trio, this package deal that they have out there for all guys to be in the top five.
Yeah.
Top five puts you $30 million plus. Now, what Jerry said that didn't get a lot of attention 2 days ago was this. Oh, you never know when one of these guys may sign the deal that we offered to him, and that would tell you exactly what our thinking is.
Yeah.
Let's interpret that means. One of these guys is going to take a deal in the value range that maybe they don't deserve. But once they do that, the dominoes will fall. The other two will have to make a move. And Jerry right now gave all three to see which one's going to take the step. Mm-hmm. But if no one takes the step, Jerry will have to because he's not going to play this year under these conditions. All three guys unsigned.
Whitlock and Wiley, Reggie Bush is back and making his Speak for Yourself debut. Former All-Pro NFL linebacker and Kansas City Chief Kyle Turley.
Lineman.
Offensive lineman.
Lineman. Tackle. You said linebacker?
Did I say
my
linebacker?
Guy right here.
No, like you said linebacker.
Looked like he played linebacker.
He looked like a linebacker.
That's all right.
Time now for
he's
a
AP.
It's legal, though. That's why.
Time now for a big story.
He's got a
boat. Let's move to Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes is looking to follow up his MVP campaign with another huge season, and one of his top targets, Travis Kelce, sounded pretty confident when asked what the team's speedy receivers would allow Mahomes and the offense to accomplish.
We're taking it up a level that we have in years past, and it's you can just tell from the coach's excitement to their attention to detail to how guys are reacting to their coaching. This team is going to be awesome, and we're going to have a lot of fun on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you name it, man. We got 4-2, 4-3, maybe 4-1. I don't know what Tyreek runs now. Who knows? But we got guys that can absolutely fly all over the field, and speed kills in this game. If you got it, you're in the advantage.
All right, Travis arguing the Chiefs have the fastest receiving core in the history of the NFL, perhaps. You think Patrick Mahomes will top his MVP numbers from last season?
No. I mean, conventional wisdom, no. Like, wisdom tells you not to bet on that for an upside in terms of just numbers.
Yeah.
Only one player ever has topped the 5K 50, and that was Peyton Manning once. And other than that, no one else has done that. So you can still have greater impact and greater value with lesser numbers. And I think that's what this situation is, because that receiving core, that team, their team speed, they're playing a different sport, man. It's a relay out there. And it's really going to be something special to watch the connection between Patrick Mahomes and his exceptional ability and that speed and their ability. Yeah. But in terms of looking for 5K 50 again, I'm not betting on that.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, especially when you're the top guy now, right? Like, everybody has you circled on their calendar. All these DBs out here, these safeties, are trying to make a name off of you. So it's a lot harder. I remember when we won the Super Bowl. The next year, we got trashed by Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. They were 7-9. We were 12-4. We walked in there thinking we was going to blow the doors off them. Marshawn Lynch still running. The Beastquake run.
Right.
Still running. So I think it's going to be extremely tough for him. 50 touchdowns is a lot, but maybe he'll get there again. It just won't be this year.
Kyle?
On you, brother.
Hey, man. You saw what you saw last year. I mean, this guy is a moment, big moment player. You know, so you can't discount the opportunity that he has coming into a year off of that with Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's talk to Donovan McNabb now. You can get to a Super Bowl with that pedigree and all those guys that Kelce just talked about. As long as that defense holds strong, no reason Mahomes can't lead that team deep into the playoffs, if not make that run, which I was hoping for with the Rams and the Chiefs.
Yeah, look, I'm a Chiefs homer.
And so take it with a grain of salt. But I really do believe he has a chance to top last year's numbers. Ooh. No Kareem Hunt. Ooh. They're going to do running back by committee.
Yeah.
The offensive line, to me, isn't the greatest run-blocking offensive line in the NFL. Yeah. So I think they're going to need more from the passing game. Tyreek Hill needs to perform to take any of the shine or the attention away from his off-the-field problems. Andy Reid, in year two with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, with his back to a wall, still hasn't won a Super Bowl. And I think I like some of the moves the Chiefs have made on defense. I'm not sure about this switch to the 4-3, but I do like them adding Tyrann Mathieu. I do like them adding Frank Clark. But last I checked, Anthony Hitchens, number 53, still their middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting big things from that defense when that guy's your middle linebacker. So I think there's going to be a need for him to score points.
Yeah.
And I think with those receivers and with no Kareem Hunt and running back by committee, I think there's going to be more ask of Patrick Mahomes, and I think him and Andy Reid are going to deliver.
I put a case of Casa Drones on this one. Hell no. I'm going to look at deeper to these numbers. There were two games where he had 6 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to regress to the mean. Let's just say, yeah. I
might have 7 one game.
Okay, I love you. But, you know, he also had 2 games where he had 0 or 1 touchdown. So maybe that averages out. But to expect this guy, what he did last year, and you've come a long way, because I remember going to the L.A. Chargers, Kansas City game, week 1 last year, coming back, telling you the next is now, and everyone laughed. Now, you're going to get ahead of that. We know he's here. And everyone has responded. Every defensive coordinator, every player is energized juice. Not to say he's not going to give you the same. It's just their response is going to be different.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head with their defense, right? Because they asked a lot from that offense last year to basically carry the team. Like, the defense literally did not show up for them. I think you would be asking a lot to ask them to do it 2 years in a row. I hope that the defense catches up with them.
Yeah.
But if you have to ask them to carry that team once again 2 years in a row, pressure bust pipe.
New system, new coordinator, maybe that's new blood, new energy, and they can respond. But
well, look, to me, if the defense improves, that works in my favor, because I don't think Andy Reid is going to take the foot off the gas with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And so I'm just telling you, year two, because again, it's like one thing to see Patrick Mahomes in practice and to speculate about what he's going to do. And then to have seen it, and now and I'm going to just throw in another one, too, in terms of Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, and people wanting to see him get a head coaching opportunity. The bigger Pat Mahomes' numbers are, the more impressive that offense is, the more opportunity it creates for Eric Bieniemy. I just think the ingredients are there with these receivers, with what they have in the running game, for Patrick Mahomes to do even more. And I just wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't.
Here's some deep analysis. Man, I love these numbers. Okay, so you know you need a 4-game cycle for defense to say, all right, now we know who you are. Once we get 4 on you, we're on you.
Mm-hmm.
He played 1 game his first year. And then he comes into this year, which was last year, I should say, his first 3 games, insane. And did you know what his 2 of his next games were? His worst games.
Mm-hmm.
And that completed the 4-game cycle. They responded. But guess what? You're going to have to go through that again.
Yep.
Another response level. Will it be to the tune of a 5K50 season? I would bet on the under.
And I'd be willing to bet that teams start playing them with a lot more corners on the football field.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Reggie Bush is back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk about this Jay-Z deal again, which is creating a lot of noise online.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are speculating that this will lead to Kaepernick return to the NFL, while others are saying that this is the first step to Jay-Z becoming an NFL owner. So I want to ask you guys, which is more likely to happen? Kaepernick returns to the league or Jay-Z becomes an NFL owner?
I'm going to throw it to you, Marcellus.
Oh, it's easy. Jay-Z becoming the owner.
Yep.
And even that has some distance in terms of destination and getting there.
Yep.
But I don't see Kaepernick ever being a part of the NFL. He's doing himself no favors.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fully respecting the process in terms of talking directly to the owners to the league. He's letting Nessa, he's letting Eric Reed and others talk for him, mm-hmm. which are not the greatest messengers because one, it's not direct and it's not showing your passion, your conviction. Okay. And two, they're just for the smoke, it seems like. They're like poking the bear. And I wouldn't want them to be my representation in any calls like this. This is, you got to get deep into the details with this. You got to be sophisticated with this. And this is not just about retweets. So I think Kaepernick, because he found himself on the outs, is not doing himself any service to get back in unless he has direct communication.
Well, you said that the other pieces around Kaepernick are there for the smoke, right? And as I'm looking at this Jay-Z deal happen with the NFL, and they're bringing him on to help with social injustice issues, my question is, how can you be for social injustice issues when you're blackballing a player, when you're blackballing Colin Kaepernick? How do you do both and pass that message on down?
Oh, I think most people have done both most of their life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you go in biblical terms, Moses was an alcoholic, but he was still able to do. Men are flawed, mm-hmm. all of, and women. We're all flawed. We all do one thing on one hand and do this on another hand.
Okay.
So I think that's everybody. I think this move by the NFL and Jay-Z, I've given it a lot of thought. Yesterday, I kind of held my powder because I wanted to give it more thought. Mm-hmm. I think this is genius on the NFL's part and on Jay-Z's part. The things I've heard Jay-Z say the past couple of days are things that I never imagined he would ever say and never imagined that he would reach this level of vision and maturity. And just to hear him say that I'm about the work and it's time to move past gestures. And again, that's not the exact word, but he basically protested, let's do some real actions and things like that. To hear Jay-Z say that, man, warmed my heart and makes me start saying, wow, this has some real potential.
Reggie, let me answer your question. Okay. How can you do both? As the old adage, brand new being comes to mind, one for all and all for one. Think about that in this context. To sacrifice one for all, or do you sacrifice all for one? Jay-Z spoke of that. If you heard his tone and you heard his words, he said, look, this issue was highlighted by Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Do not morph this issue into now from social injustice to an employment issue for Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. So if you want me not to be at this table with the NFLs, and excuse me, I'm a partner with the NFL, two great brands merging. Not a situation where Eric Reed is cap mad at Eric Reed, who's an employer, employee of the NFL. Not on the same level as a partner. So Jay-Z said, it's time to turn this into action items. You protest so that the other side hears you. Now that they hear you, what are you going to do? And Jay-Z said, I'm going to do that.
But are you still attacking the problem head on? If you're saying, we're going to bring in Jay-Z, this billionaire rapper who's made it, right? Who a lot of the you know, young athletes love listen to, but we're not attacking the problem head on, which is Colin Kaepernick.
No, that's not the problem. That's not the problem. Colin Kaepernick did not take a knee for quarterbacks to get jobs in the NFL. Allegedly, it was about police misconduct and violence.
Okay,
that's
agreed.
The issue.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a real-world example, a real-life personal example of where I think Colin Kaepernick is miscalculated and his defenders are miscalculated. And I hate to do it because people are going to get upset with me. But, Reggie, I started something at ESPN called The Undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unfairly treated. And that's not me whining and crying, but I was unfairly treated. Not one of my actions after they fired me was to take down The Undefeated.
Okay.
I wanted The Undefeated to succeed and to have success and go on to employ the 40 or 50 African-American journalists that are employed now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about me. It was about The Undefeated and doing something for black journalists. And so I can't spend all my time, oh my God, I was so mistreated. The Undefeated can't go on unless Jason Whitlock works there. The hell it can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't about me.
I'm not saying it can't go on.
Well,
I'm just saying is he not better than a lot of
absolutely.
Quarterbacks.
Reggie,
so what are we talking about?
Reggie, two different Reggie, issues, Reg.
Reggie, I'm sorry, I apologize for the air. I'm the best sports writer going.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'm not working over at The Undefeated. I had to move on and do something else and not be a crybaby about it,
okay.
But to celebrate the fact that, you know what, something good came out of the bullets I took.
Right. Right.
And if Kaepernick's not man enough to say, you know what, something good has come out of the bullets I took, then he's faking the funk. And we need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, Jay-Z is just sitting there.
I agree. By the way, I agree with you.
Okay.
I'm not only just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree with everything you just
There's
said.
There's a conflation going on with Kaepernick's sacrifice that resulted in him being blackballed. And then what do we do because of that?
Yeah.
Are we going to be paralyzed just because of that one situation? Mm-hmm. Or use that energy to electrify what he was trying to highlight, which is the social injustice issues and others? Jay-Z has said, I'm about to grab these receipts and talk about ownership, not just outrage. Because you can sit there and be enraged for so long, mm-hmm. but are you moving towards what your initial cause was? Jay-Z is going to take that baton that Colin highlighted respect, but now let's not morph the issues into saying because you're not employed, we can't move on with this cause. Because millions suffer. And I said this day one when Colin Kaepernick was protesting. Mm-hmm. I'm from Compton, and Compton cares when you care back. And Cap, you doing what you're doing to highlight our issues, but they have to materialize.
Into something.
They have to monetize. They have to become resourceful. Mm-hmm. And he's doing his part. But he ain't the only one that can do it. He is not the only face that could be of this cause.
Yeah.
And, you know, my point of view is...
I appreciate y'all putting me on game, too.
my point of view is, like, and people get upset with it. Cap, to me, his motives haven't been pure, or he would be handling this, particularly 3 years later, differently than he is. He hasn't moved at all mentally. And I'm just glad Jay-Z and others have. And again, I've been a longtime critic of Jay-Z. And if he keeps running down this direction, I'm going to be a longtime praiser of Jay-Z because I think he has a chance, and this is where I give the NFL credit, to really help these young guys understand, handle your business, make as much money as you can, and then take that money and impact your communities. And again,
but
don't
think people already guys already understand that? Guys are already doing that.
Well, what Jay, I think, is trying to say, guys are, but there are some guys that still want to dirty up business.
Yeah.
But let's take a knee and let's make a spectacle of ourselves. Let's be polarizing on the TV show that pays us all this money. And I think Jay-Z's going, nope. We can not be polarizing. We can make more money and do good business and still impact our communities in big ways. If that's his message and if that's how the NFL is partnering with him, I think that's a beautiful thing.
So are you
thing.
Alluding to Kenny Stills from Miami Dolphins?
Because
I feel like what Kenny Stills is directing his at is that the owner, Stephen Ross, who was publicly supporting Donald Trump and doing fundraising stuff for him as well.
Jay-Z
I think it's all tied
as,
in.
Jay-Z spoke to that as well, Reggie, because the reality is you're gonna do business with people you disagree with politically.
You play the game with people you disagree with.
I mean,
that locker room was full of disagreements.
You took checks.
And we went out there and got it. And this is why I know the intentions of Colin Kaepernick are either not clear or they're not pure. Mm-hmm. If Eric Reed is your boy like he's your boy, he's an employee of the league. Are y'all got smoke?
Right.
No. He's taking a check from these owners. Yeah. But then when Jay-Z says, I'm not necessarily just taking a check, I'm controlling what this check's gonna look like and make sure it spreads to others.
Yeah.
But we got smoke with him, a partner versus an employee. If clear that up for me, and then you might have my conviction.
Eric Mangini and Kyle Turley are back. Turn to the NFL, sponsored by Capital One Venture Cards. What's in your wallet? All right, to Indianapolis, where Andrew Luck is coming off a strong comeback season where he led the Colts to the playoffs, but the team could be bracing for life without the often injured quarterback. Luck is out with an ongoing ankle injury and is uncertain for week one, with the Colts planning to decide his status after the third preseason game. Question here is, will injuries prevent Andrew Luck from reaching his full potential?
Absolutely, and that full potential is based off the expectations, which was the number one overall pick, best quarterback prospect since Elway. He won't live up to that because of these injuries, because the longer you play this game, the older you get, you don't get healthier. And it's going to be a very difficult task for him to, one, just stay on the field, let alone live up to those expectations. I think he falls short.
It's been hard for him, and I think the early part of his career, he was one of those guys that didn't know when to get rid of the ball, and he would get blown up for a 4-yard completion, and he's improved substantially in terms of his decision making. So that part I'm encouraged by. But when you get into the misdiagnosis of the shoulder and he misses that whole season, And now we're here, and it's supposed to be a start as a calf, and then it moved to an ankle, and now it's a bone. So he's only played, or he practiced, what, twice during the whole
training camp? Since April or something like that.
Since April, and here we are, 24 days left to the start of the season, and they still don't really know what it is. So that means that whatever rehab, whatever plan they have in place, it's a crapshoot whether or not it gets done. So we probably go into this season with the same type of uncertainty. And it is disappointing because I think he is a special young quarterback. And when he's healthy, they've got a chance to compete for the championship every year.
But it's you know, this is a new game, right? It's not what when we played, when Marcellus and I used to battle. These guys, it is not the same game. These guys are not getting touched. There's a force field around these quarterbacks. Andrew Luck is a pocket quarterback. The prototype, height, weight, arm, the whole thing. So Dan Marino, John Elway, those guys are expecting him. Put the brace on, like Tom Brady, sit in the pocket and throw the ball. And he's a guy that needs something to fight for, personally. I think Andrew Luck is kind of like Matt Ryan in that he now needs to take that step and become a man. And you know as well as I do, nothing helps you become that man more when you got to fight for something. And if he's got a little injury that makes him go out there a little hungrier to prove himself, I think that he's going to prove all of that wrong. And he's going to have a great
season. So you still think he could be the guy because the league is so protective of quarterbacks?
He doesn't need to be as healthy. And he has to be. And he has to be. The league protects him, and he has to be. This is his moment. This is his time. If he doesn't do it this year, you know, injury or not, then now you're talking everything you just said is for sure. And then the move on to his career, he's out of the Indianapolis and onto another program.
Well, to me, when I hear practice three times since April, and you're creeping up on 30.
Yeah.
And I just, and the way the quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Baker Mayfield, to the Deshaun Watson, this next generation of quarterbacks, I just think if you're not out on the field game after game after game, season after season after season, it's hard to become a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or the best quarterback in the league. And at some point, during his career, Andrew Luck was supposed to be the best quarterback in the league.
Yep.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think Mahomes has come in. I think Mayfield's on the rise. I think there's another group of quarterbacks that will be the best quarterbacks over the next 10 years. Andrew Luck will never be that guy.
There's one attribute, negative attribute, trait that they don't talk enough about, and it's called injury prone. And I was an injury prone player. When I was healthy, get it. When I wasn't, sorry. It's just, and if you're not available, he's protected by the fascination, the fantasy of, oh, when healthy. But there's going to hit a day where you're like, that's just the reality. It's no more fantasy. So when we see him out there, he's amazing. But he's not out there enough to get that body of work that's going to live up to these expectations. He's going to fall short.
I think you got to evaluate the medical staff, too. They misdiagnosed the shoulder. I don't know if they've made a change there or not, but they misdiagnosed the shoulder. When they finally figured out and he got surgery, then he was fine going into last season. Now here we are, and they've misdiagnosed the ankle or the bone or whatever it is.
Bone.
That's not Andrew Luck's fault.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure out what this is and move forward, and I think he's got a chance to be on the field.
Great. All right, Darnell, anything we missed?
Yes, sir. So Kyler Murray will be back on the field tonight as the Cardinals face the Raiders in their second preseason game.
Raider.
And the hype around Kyler is real. Cardinals GM Steve Keim said that Kyler Murray was a generational talent they just couldn't pass up on. So I want to ask you guys, are the Cardinals putting too much pressure on Kyler with statements like this?
Too much pressure, probably. And that's funny coming off of Andrew Luck, another number one pick that was supposed to be the next John Elway, and it's not happening. Generational? I would just tone it down. I'd let the guy play.
What? This is the only athlete in athletic history to go top 10 in two sports. He went to bed every night with that on his head and walked around campus with $4 million in the paycheck. I think he's going to be just fine. He's been dealing with pressure his entire life. You think now that Arizona's saying he's going to be something special is new to this guy?
And you're in Arizona. Hey, no pressure. No pressure in Arizona. Come on.
I just think Steve Keim is saying that for him. He's not saying it for Kyler Murray. These guys have so much pressure on him already. And so many rocks on the pile. It's the organization and the GM and the head coach's job to take a little bit off of the player, not put it back onto him. You're saying that because you want to justify why you fired a head coach and why you got rid of a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
And the reality is, okay, you made the decision you made, and you're going to be judged by it. But now help that guy be successful. And the best way you can do that is by taking pressure off, not adding pressure to him.
Did you talk about a situation, vice versa, Andrew Luck versus this guy? He can't afford to have an injury. He can't afford to just sit in that pocket.
Uncle Jimmy's here.
You, girl.
Your thoughts on the show so far?
Big
Red. Hey. Go ahead, man.
Call me Jimmy, your enemy, all right? That's what I am. Jimmy, your enemy.
Go ahead,
hey, man, let's get to the big dummy of the day. Yeah. Does my I hate this. Big dummy of the day got to go to my boy Markelis.
What did he do?
Markelis.
What?
In the A block, real early, you tried to drop a Pookie reference during the Whitlock.
Oh, you saw that in the smoking?
And then you turn right back around and say, no, listen here, Whitlock. They comments agree with you, but they words agree with me.
I didn't say
what
that.
What the hell that mean?
I didn't say that.
Well, you've been working around him too long.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier.
Yeah, bro, I got to hold you today.
They comments, but they info. Every day of Dak's sanity is a bad day for Dak Prescott. He looks greedy and delusional. Respect to Dak Prescott, who is trying to control what he can't control when you're on the football field.
I do like and respect coworkers who are overpaid, right?
You're my boy. You're my dog.
Nah, you work. I'll give you that.
All right, so we've shown a highlight of Dak Prescott, but we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Your thoughts, Big Red?
Hey, that's your problem right there. You don't play Madden, do you?
No.
No, you don't. Well, and you know what? That's why you don't know nothing. Uncle Jimmy, Uncle Jimmy, I'm a certified first ballot Madden Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in the work I'm putting in, boy, my receipts is up and down the internet.
Yeah.
You can see the carnage of little kids scattered all up and down while them busted their heads with this hit
stick. So you agree with me, Patrick Mahomes is going to set all kinds of new records?
No, not at all. No. Matter of fact, let me tell you something, man. Patrick Mahomes, first of all, they ain't going to set the records because they don't have to. Okay? They don't have to. We got a new defense. You know, we got a new day in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Okay? We got a new defense, a new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We got new defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of y'all don't know this, man. Kansas City Chiefs done cut ties with Derek Johnson, Tamba Ali, Justin Houston, D Ford, Eric Berry, our hometown heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gone.
They gone.
And I know what all y'all gonna say. Oh, well, all them changes on paper. You don't know what you're talking about, Uncle Jimmy. What did I tell you? I'm certified in this. I'm a Maddenologist. I know these things. Stop. You understand? Stop. Ask anybody about this Madden 20. Ask them. This Chiefs defense ain't to be played with, son.
So the defense is gonna mean Patrick Mahomes is gonna throw as many touchdowns?
Exactly. Hey, he ain't gonna have to. Defense gonna handle it. Man, look here, let me tell you something. Ask Darnell's little friend Ty. I busted his head last night. Had to put him on suicide watch. Man, y'all better quit stepping to me, man. Let me tell you what Patrick Mahomes, let me tell you the one problem he do got. He a little light in the seat on that offensive line.
Oh.
Now, what he need to do, he need to go holler at your nutritionist to pick up a little weight on that front line.
Get him.
Look here, hey, Patty. Your boy Uncle Jimmy gonna be back in Kansas City in a couple of days. Holler at your boy. I deliver the blue M&Ms to you. Let me tell you, since I've been hanging out with him, ain't nobody put a hand on me, Marcus. Holler at your boy. Holler at me, Patty.
All right.
Okay?
Let me get Kansas my approval City. Rating for Patrick Mahomes.
Kansas City.
I move him up 3 points in all-time greatness. He's gotten the MVP award.
Hallelujah.
We did him.
There you go.
So I have him in GOAT status, 82.
Right. Man, I got him in, like, severe fat goat status, man. I can't even move him up some categories. He's already great MVP. That's the only one I moved him up, but he was already at 25s all across the board. I love this dude. Next level talent. We know it.
The Twitter poll has him at an all-star level.
That's
low. I'm kind of surprised. That must be a lot of charges.
He threw the ball haters out of the stadium, y'all.
Chargers and Raiders fans.
Hating on the Chiefs. Raider fans.
L.A. show.
No, nothing. That
is definitely.
Yeah, yeah, all go. Right.
That's why y'all ain't got no team.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.